WOFA in Radio Land. It's time once more for another exciting installment of the Piper Prel Show. I am your host, the Piper Prel, and tonight we're going to reach out and touch someone over the phone, over the air. It's Controversy Calling, and my guest tonight is none other than Mr. Suicide, Dr. Death himself, that mad inventor of the suicide machine, Dr. Convulsion. Welcome to Controversy Calling.
Oh, I won't talk to you. You're stigmatized.
We're stigmatized. It almost seems that way, but we're not the only ones.
Well, you will be when I finish talking to you, I know.
Well, I'm not so sure. I happen to think that what you're doing may have quite a lot of medical value.
I know, but you can't shake up the people who run the system.
Well, that's true, but...
Yeah, I'd be willing to talk. What do you want to know?
Well, we'd just like to hear, you know, your version of events, because it seems like the newspapers out here are kind of... given a sort of one-sided slant.
They're against me, aren't they?
Well, let's just say that what they're putting in quotation marks seems to be a lot of editorializing and
very
much...
they're controlled by organized medicine. That's why they're all intelligentsia, you know. Not common people overwhelmingly for me. You should hear me walk down the street and people stop me and what they say.
Well, you know, it didn't take a lot of thought on my part to figure, you know, I put my dog out of misery quicker than the medical association will put a human being out of its pain.
Sure, but that's because a human's divine, therefore he must suffer.
A human's divine and therefore he must suffer.
Yeah, well, I say he's divine, but I don't feel divine. Do you feel divine?
No, not recently.
I don't know where that idea came from, but I don't feel divine.
Mm-hmm.
I cut when I bleed, you know, and when I see a person die, you know, it, like an animal, it stinks. I don't know, that's not very divine to me.
Well, you've obviously researched this a lot more than the average person. I know there's been a lot of controversy of late over living wills and things that people can write down before they get in situations like brain death and things like that.
Yeah.
How would that affect what you're doing? I mean...
No, what I'm doing, you see, the person has to be mentally competent enough to know what he's doing, and he pushes the switch.
Mm-hmm.
For living wills for comatose and incompetent people... That's going to take a more mature society. That's why you have all the. That's why you have all the conflict today. Really, it is just as. It's no more complicated. It's just a part of euthanasia. But medical profession, you know, is afraid to face death squarely. They just shun it.
Well, I'd imagine that kind of have a negative impact on their PR. I mean, they're supposed to represent extending people's life until immortality, practically.
That's right. No matter how much they suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that way they earn their way into some kind of heaven, I guess.
Well, you remember Karen Quinton, and she was there on a machine for years and years, rotting away until finally they got a court order to pull the plug.
Yeah, they took her off the machine. She lived another long while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what I'm doing is for people who themselves decide that their life is no longer worth living, and it's up to a doctor to decide if the person's wish is medically justifiable. Simple as that. If it's justifiable, no matter what the doctor thinks, the option should be available.
Mm-hmm.
But, and there's no room for ethics around there, a philosophy or religion. To keep all the theologians, all the ethicists, all the psychologists, everybody out of it.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor decides because medicine is the crux of the problem, nothing else. If a doctor, well, most doctors aren't that bright, of course, you know that. they lack common sense and logic, but they know medical expert. They have medical expertise.
A lot of dollars, but not a lot of sense.
Yeah, they're a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So then when a doctor or a group of doctors decide, they get together, they decide, yes, this is justifiable, and the patient says, but, you know, I'm this, I'm Shinto, or I'm Muslim, or I'm Catholic, or this. So, okay, they go back and consult with the theologians there.
Mm-hmm.
And they iron things out, but the doctor runs it. He doesn't need any other ethicist.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a sociological problem with a family or psychological, they can call in the consultant, but a doctor does the leading. And nowadays, they do the following. They want everybody else to tell them what's ethical.
See? Oh, boy.
So then the doctor finally decides, putting this all together, because medicine is the crux of it. It's a medical problem that brought the patient forward, not a psychological problem and not a religious problem. Religion, you'd go to a theologian.
Well, this certainly has worldwide ramifications, and... I don't know if you came up with this term or not, but you're a suicide machine.
Yeah, well, it's machine makes it sound big. I like to call it device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you explain how that works for our listeners?
Yes, it's it consists of three bottles hooked up on a handle on a device, which weighs about 10 pounds or less.
Mm-hmm.
I start a vena puncture in a patient's arm and start the drip of IV saline solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two bottles are connected into this tube, too, through the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And when the patient's ready, I start a cardiogram that's attached to the patient. That's to monitor the heart to make sure when the patient's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the patient, when the patient's ready, the patient hits a light switch. And the switch does three things simultaneously. it cuts off the saline drip,
mm-hmm.
turns on the drip, the second bottle, which is pentothal solution,
mm-hmm.
that induces sleep within 20 or 30 seconds.
Sure.
And sets up a timing mechanism. Those are the three things it does. Now, the timing mechanism in 60 seconds then turns on the third bottle, which is a mixture of concentrated potassium chloride, which, when it reaches the heart, will stop it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The paralyzer. And a small dose of muscle relaxant, which
mm-hmm.
Keeps the body fairly calm.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this light switch also basically puts out their lights at that point.
What's that?
It pretty much ends it off of them.
Yeah, within about 5 or 6 minutes, it's finished
mm-hmm.
after the switch is hit.
But they're unconscious, so they don't feel a thing.
Oh, within 20, 30 seconds, they're unconscious. They
mm-hmm.
don't feel a thing. It's like having a massive, painless heart attack in deep sleep,
mm-hmm.
which is the way everybody says they want to go.
Well, little wonder this would create an international stir. Do you think anybody might resort to using this on just because they're... Oh, sick of life as opposed to having medical reasons for doing so?
Well, not if they're a corrupt, not unless they're a corrupt doctor, because only a doctor and only specially licensed doctors can obtain the drug, pentothal.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can make the device, but they can't get the drug.
Pentothal.
Yeah.
Well, before what we were talking about we started to discuss the possibility of starting up a new field of medicine, since doctors in general have such a hard time coming to grips with with death.
Right. In fact, I do believe this is what's going to happen. Their recalcitrance here, their resistance and obstructionism
mm-hmm.
is going to cost them. Is going to be their first crack in the fragmentation of their specialty.
What would you call this field? A euthanologist or
no,
something?
No, I call it obituary.
Obituary.
Yeah, obit from obituary. That's Latin
mm-hmm.
for death, and
mm-hmm.
iatry is Greek for doctor or treatment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a handling of treatment of death, doctoring of death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good term, and it covers the wide field of not only just helping patients commit suicide, actually just simple death,
mm-hmm.
but also prolonged euthanasia under anesthesia, like a hospital operation,
mm-hmm.
from which they never wake up.
Sure.
And with their permission, organs are taken for donation,
mm-hmm.
casually and with decorum.
Well, I guess that wouldn't. That's one of the advantages to your machine. It doesn't damage the organs.
No, but that kills them. All you can get is the kidneys right away. You can't get the heart and lungs because they got to be from a living body.
I see.
So they undergo surgical anesthesia, just like an operation.
Mm-hmm.
See, my machine is useful only for someone who wants to do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
See, some may not want to do it themselves, and they'd rather have someone inject them.
Mm-hmm.
So when the law changes for euthanasia, that could happen in this obitorium.
Obituarium.
See, that's the place where it's done.
Well, it always kind of struck me a little bit hypocritical how, you have all the religion and all the doctors that are running around and saying you can't play God by ending someone's death, but no one ever seems to have any problem with playing God with extending someone's life.
That's right. That's been brought up by many philosophers.
Mm-hmm.
But then don't expect rationality from doctors outside of their own field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them don't use much common sense or logic outside of their own field.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about your own personal experience as a doctor? What type of doctor are you?
I'm just a pathologist, retired now.
Mm-hmm.
And they criticize me for that. Oh, you're retired. Oh, you're not a clinician. You don't treat patients. As if I have no medical knowledge or training, you know.
Well, you can only know anything about your field while you're actually work at the time, obviously.
Any doctor criticizing me, I say, well, you know some things I know, and I know some things you know. You want me to fool you with a question?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's silly. I mean, why even bring that up? They do anything to win their point. They
mm-hmm.
want to stop me. So I don't blame them. They're really misguided people. They don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that strikes me a little bit odd about this whole controversy is that everyone's pretending like you're all of a sudden opening up an option that no one ever had before.
That's right.
And yet it seems to me that this is kind of like abortion. You know, you take away the rights to legal abortion and they have to go to the coat hanger. Well, here they're going to have to go to the pistols and pills again.
The pistols holes are there. I'm trying to avoid that. That's right. You're
mm-hmm.
right. It's logical. There's nothing deep about what we're... You look at it rationally, so do I.
Mm-hmm.
But these other people have to have they have a self-serving attitude toward it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a fear of death, a fear of change. They want to protect that halo over their head. They're living by a myth. They want to perpetuate a myth that they don't realize died long ago.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Well, you brought this whole thing to a head pretty much by helping a terminally ill, I believe, Alchemizer's...
she wasn't terminal yet, but she was heading that way. It's a terminal disease, but it's a long termination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a wonderful person. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a result of you assisting here... you've had to go before court, and I believe they put some sort of order saying that you can't do it again.
That's right. That's called an injunction.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it's in effect until I'm charged in a month or two.
What will you be charged with?
I don't know. There's no law broken. That's, I think, saber-rattling.
Mm-hmm.
I really welcome the charge because I think I can argue this very effectively in front of a jury, but not the judge.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Well,
the judge's husband's a doctor, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, so you can read what you want into that.
A little bit of conflict of interest there.
Well, one could say that.
Can kind of help whenever he or she gets sued, bring up the charges before the judge there. Oh, my goodness.
See, the society we live in.
Well, you said at the time when you heard the verdict that you were out of business. Now, how does what sort of business would you say? Were you planning on making this any sort of real business, or was it?
No. That's just a phrase. When you're out of business, that means you can't do anything more. Someone else has asked me that. Maybe it's an unfortunate choice of words. That's a phrase.
So you didn't receive any payment?
Never.
And
never.
You had payment.
In fact, I paid for all materials and that used in the thing.
You also described yourself as a Dr. Frankenstein and that everyone misunderstands you.
They call me a Dr. Frankenstein, and I tell people that they don't realize the compliment they're paying me because they're going by the movie in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
If you read the real book, he was a tremendous doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the monster he created was a very benevolent monster.
Mm-hmm.
It's society that drove him mad.
And
so it's comparable to my situation because my creation is this concept. And society is driving it, making it evil.
Mm-hmm.
See?
That all took place in Switzerland there, I guess Frankenstein's.
That's right. You know the story, don't you?
Mm-hmm. It's a Dr. Convulsion. How do you pronounce that? How do you pronounce your name? That almost sounds Swiss, too.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Maybe you're related. I like you. You'd be a good doctor. Too bad you're retired.
What's your name?
Papa Prell.
Prell?
Prell.
Prell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
What was it in your personal experience that made you go forth in this? Was anyone you knew?
No, working with condemned criminals. I've been doing that for 30 years.
Oh, really?
Trying to get them to state to allow them to be executed under anesthesia so we could take organs.
Oh, really?
And the state won't allow it. Doctors don't want that either.
Why is that?
The pseudo-pious attitude of medicine.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to tarnish their rusty halo anymore.
I see.
I told you, they're living a myth that's long ago been dead.
Mm-hmm. So,
philosophically, it's a dead organization.
Sure.
The only thing alive is their sense of commercialism.
Kind of the Golden Guild.
That's right.
They complain that you're taking a life with this device. Well, by preventing it, they're forcing two lives being taken. The criminal and...
More than two.
Right, and the people that would benefit from those organs.
Seven or eight people would benefit.
I'll be done.
So every execution from a young man who wants to go on a organs means the death of seven or eight people automatically because there are not enough organs. But no one sees that, so they ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Well, that's really tragic.
It sure is. We're living in a very funny civilization. Very thin veneer.
Mm-hmm. All this technology, but philosophically still pretty much back in the Dark Ages.
Well, yeah, we are. See, Dark Ages is an abstract concept. It's mental. It's not material. Material doesn't make an enlightened age.
Mm-hmm.
Enlightened age is a philosophically enlightened age.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not that. This is a Dark Age. Very pervasive, very deep, right at the core. We're still in the Dark Ages.
Well, I guess that's not hurting the hospital business, though.
No, because that has nothing to do with it. See, the suffering, you can't pay bills with suffering. See, they don't care. It's as long as they get the money to pay their bills.
Sure. Well, as long as they have to be kept alive by law, these people are going to keep on, the hospitals are going to keep collecting money.
Absolutely. Many people have brought that up. That may be a big factor. I don't know. I don't make that charge because I don't have the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Prell, been nice talking with you.
Well, it's been good talking with you, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a kid. Dr. Convulsion here on Controversy Calling. I really like that guy. You know, I wish I had gotten his address there. I could make quite a few referrals there. Some of the people I particularly dislike. Maybe he'll get back in the medicine business. Who knows? But keep watching this in the media. I'm sure you're going to see a lot more of it. It's not a dead issue, and... Well, actually, I guess it is a dead issue, but not in the way they like to think it. But anyway, that's about all the time we have tonight, so do tune in next week for another exciting installment of the Papa Prell Show. Until next week, this is Papa Prell saying so long till next time again, and God bless.